Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, good evening. We are once again so glad you are joining us on KMUN, our favorite local community radio. You too can become a member or donate to KMUN, KMUN.org, or you can mail that old-fashioned check.
You know, you're looking, you're glaring at me when
I
you
am.
Say that. But, you know, I like that you say our favorite local community radio. Are there other local community radios?
No.
I mean, there are other radios, but I guess the definition is community.
This is our local community radio, yes. Okay.
So that made me laugh.
They're still our favorite.
We've got a guest.
We do. We have Dan Turner joining us tonight. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. He's going to talk about himself. We're going to learn more about the Cathlamet Library, all the things.
All right.
Okay.
And Cathlamet is within our vast viewing, listening audience.
On KMUN and always online at KMUN.org or Apple or Spotify podcasts.
And I like Cathlamet.
Yeah. Are you from Cathlamet?
It's a ferry boat away, right away.
We don't know much about Dan yet. He's just looking at us.
He's second guessing coming in.
I live. First of all, thank you very much for inviting me on this your illustrious podcast with your over 38,000 listeners. Anyway, so I seriously do appreciate it. And I live just north. My wife and I, we live just north of Cathlamet, just on the outskirts. And we've lived in the Wakaikum County since 2003.
Okay.
We used to live in Skamakaway for 8-9 years, and then we moved just north of Cathlamet. Anyway.
So when you say just north of Cathlamet, does that mean that the people of Cathlamet kind of look down their nose at you, that you're just over the border? Because the way you clarified that, like,
yes.
No, I can't claim to be from Cathlamet.
No,
I'm
no.
Right
what,
next door to it.
Right. And not to get in the weeds. No, what I'm implying.
Oh, we'll get into the weeds.
In stating there is that I do not live in the town limits of Cathlamet, but I live just on the outskirts of it.
You enjoy the beauty, though.
We do.
Okay.
Yeah,
so this is going to be a great show, so we should cut.
You do your thing first, Mac.
Let's get through this,
because
we got to put the focus back where it needs to be. All right, so these are things that happen tomorrow, this day in history. Tomorrow, as always, icebreakers or things to talk about at the lunch table or around
when
the dinner table.
When you're taking the ferry.
When you're sitting on the ferry, make friends.
Yeah.
Get out of your car, walk around. All right, so February 23rd, 1778 on this date, Frederick Wilhelm Rudolf Gerhard August Freiherr von Steuben.
Oh, my goodness.
We just call him like von Steuben.
Okay.
A Prussian military officer arrives at General George Washington's encampment at Valley Forge and commences training soldiers in close order drill, instilling new confidence and discipline in the demoralized Continental Army.
Mm.
Von Steuben, he comes and helps train.
Okay.
Because we were just a bunch of farmers.
Right.
We didn't know how to fight.
Didn't exactly know what they signed up for.
All right. 1821. College of Apothecaries organized in Philadelphia. It's the first U.S. pharmacy college.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I like pharmaceuticals.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So I'm glad that happened. 1836, the Battle of the Alamo begins. It's not going to, I'm going to spoiler alert here. It's not going to end well in 13 days.
Right. Yes.
All right.
Okay. Have you been to that museum?
I've never been.
Oh, you haven't?
No, but I hear there's a basement that's very lovely. You have no idea that reference.
I don't.
But somebody out there is laughing. Do you know the reference?
No. Nope. Yeah. Right. Wrong audience.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh my gosh. Director of the Historical Society, ladies and gentlemen.
He's told his lost bicycle is in the basement of the Alamo.
Oh.
So he goes on the tour, and he keeps like looking and looking. Then at the end of the tour, any more questions? And he says, "Where's the basement? Don't we get to see the basement?" And it was all a lie. There is no basement, and his bike is not there.
Yeah, okay.
So, anyway, there were a few people out there laughing, I guarantee it. All right. But you've been to the Alamo.
I haven't, no.
Okay. Have you been to the Alamo?
Yes, I have.
So is it glorious, or
no,
is it nothing?
No, it's not.
And is it like
just
right?
Just speaking honestly.
Yeah.
It's a small little adobe building.
And that's it.
No, you get to it, you're in the middle of San Antonio, roughly, and you realize, oh, this is it. Good grief. Where are we going for lunch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
And you know the outcome, too. I mean, it's like a tough...
Now,
story.
Now, is part of the disappointment, though, because I've heard this before, is it because it's right in the middle of town? And, of course, from the John Wayne movie, it seems like it's isolated out.
Well, sure, because at one time it was.
Right.
Obviously. And it's small because at one time it was just a small little outpost of a fort in the middle of nowhere, essentially. And just circumstances happened that it became a focal point.
Exactly.
How was that?
All right. Excellent. You were the first visitor to our show that has actually seen the Alamo, because I think I've referenced the Alamo a few times. All right. So we don't have to revisit that ever again. Thank you. 1886, the Times of London newspaper publishes the world's first classified ad.
Ooh, genius.
I did a deeper dive.
Of course. Good.
I couldn't find what it is.
Oh.
Nobody knows what it was.
Oh, what the ad was. Okay.
I wanted to be like married white male searching for some right. crazy thing. All right. Or I've got a bike to sell. All right. 1896, Tootsie Rolls are introduced by Leo Hirschfield.
Okay.
How do we feel about Tootsie
Rolls? Oh, I love Tootsie Rolls.
Do you really?
I do.
No, not so much.
Yeah. Now, will you go? Now, see, if they're in the Halloween candy, sure, I'll eat them, but I have never gone out of my way to buy a bag of Tootsie
Correct.
Rolls.
Never in my life.
Okay. No. See, then you don't really love them. All right. You're just, it's a candy of convenience.
There we go. Yes.
All right. 1940, Woody Guthrie writes, "This Land Is Your Land."
That's a good one. Yeah. My kids love it.
I would be okay with that as our national anthem.
I know. You've said that before, too.
Well, no, usually it's My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
One, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on a bit of a bent that our national anthem is one of the worst ever created. And it you
needs
can't
some
sing
brief
it.
Amping.
It's a nice poem. But
true, it is. Yes. But yes, very difficult to sing correctly.
So, and anybody can take this up. I don't need to be the one leading the petition, but I'll sign it. All right. 1945, the U.S. flag raised on Iwo Jima. Excellent book, Flags of Our Fathers, made into an okay movie, but talking about it, it's one of the guys' son. But what I love about this, the famous photograph, mm-hmm. it was actually the second flag. They didn't get a good photograph, so they said, let's do it again, and this time. And then the book, Flags of Our Fathers, is about one of those guys' son who tracks down, and we learn all about those five guys that raised the flag.
Okay.
And it's just amazing what happened to them and their stories.
Well, add
so,
it to my list.
Highly recommend it. But our history highlight of the day is a tie.
Oh, this doesn't happen often.
But they kind of tie into each other.
Okay.
So 1905, the first Rotary Club is formed by four men in the Unity Building in Chicago.
I love that.
The Rotary Club.
Interesting.
Yes.
So, Lana, you and I are both, well, you're no longer, you're a former Rotarian.
I am joining again, actually, in about 2 weeks.
Oh, terrific. Which club?
Seaside.
Oh.
My friend Kimberly Ward's the president.
All right. Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
But Rotary Clubs all around the world, and they've made a huge difference.
Yep, service organization.
And then, strangely enough, the other history highlight of the day, on this day in 1954, a group of children from Arsenal Elementary School in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, received the first injections of the new polio vaccine.
Yes.
Yes.
And of course, Rotarians have been fighting polio for years.
That's a good, yeah.
So a little bit of a tie-in. But we think getting rid of polio is a good thing.
It still is, yes.
I still clearly remember, well, at least according to my memory, going to the doctor's office, getting the sugar cube, but that wasn't the thing. Because they didn't have to do injections anymore at that time. So it must have been like around 1960, 61 or whatever, aging myself. But then glancing over and looking at my mom sitting on a chair in the corner and the look of relief in her face, because she'd grown up in the 30s when kids, people, whatever, would get polio and boom, boom, bango, that was it. No more walking for you for the rest of your life. You're crippled. Oh. And so for a parent, for a mom, a dad, whoever, to see their child get that vaccine and know 99% certain what they had grown up through, their child wasn't going to be exposed to this condition of being paralyzed for the rest of your life. Just a huge.
What a powerful memory.
The relief on her face was just like, it's over. No more concern.
So two things. One, I'm shocked at the early memory and so how strong it was. But do you remember no shot or was it a little liquid form at that point?
No, it's a sugar cube.
Isn't it? It's just, it was in the sugar cube.
It was in the sugar cube, yeah.
Okay. It went very quickly to that. Okay. Yeah. I think they learned it because it's easier too to give
little kids
little kid,
a sugar cube.
And all over the world.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But But I think people that haven't spoken to somebody that had that fear and live with that fear,
right?
I don't think it's as real. You read the textbook and, oh, we got rid of this thing called polio. And yeah, I've seen some pictures of the people that were stricken by it. Mm-hmm. But to see that, I mean, I love the way you talk about that, the look of relief on your mother. I mean, that is eradicating a deadly disease that affected far more people than I think today we ever even think about. Right. And it was a fear. And I mean, I remember the closest I can come to this is my grandparents talking about not letting my mother and her brother, their children, swim because there was fear that you were getting it through communal swimming pools and things like that. So they stayed away from that for a while.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Wow. I can't think of a good segue here.
I know.
Well, education, you know, learning about these vaccines and,
yes,
and libraries are all about education.
And we're going to learn more. We have Dan Turner here.
How was that for a transition?
Thank you once again for joining us and coming to our recording studio in the basement of the Heritage Museum.
So before we get to the library, and that's ultimately what you wanted to come and talk about with us, but let's talk about you a little bit. All I could glean from the internet without doing a deep dive, you're a Navy veteran.
Correct.
So where'd you grow up and what was your childhood like and why did you join the Navy?
Okay, let me get, I appreciate the question. Let me get through it quickly because I really do want to focus on the library. I grew up in Beaverton, Oregon, back when I was small and dinky. We lived out in the country. I rode my bike everywhere, had a blast, had two wonderful parents. Anyway, long story short, then I, you know, of course, graduated high school, Beaverton, and then messed around being an auto mechanic for a while and so on and so forth. And then, anyway, then I eventually went into the Navy and spent 21 illustrious years in the Navy and retired. I was in submarines, and then after about 12 years, because of a medical condition, I went into security, law enforcement type stuff. Retired after 21 years, and then we moved. Our family moved from Whidbey Island Naval Air Station. We moved down to Skamakaway, and we lived out there 8-9 years. We had a small 50-acre farm. Had a small independent poultry business there. And anyway, long story short, after about 8-9 years, I went into, I was doing substitute teaching at the time also, public school. And then went back to WSU Vancouver, got my master's in teaching, and then I became a full-time certified teacher. Taught for 13 years. And then retired about 2.5 years. I was approached by Vicki Franklin, our current librarian at the Cathlamet Public Library. And she approached me and said, hey, would you like to be on the Cathlamet Library Board? And in situations like that, usually I don't say yes. And I didn't say and I didn't say yes. I did the usual my usual research thing and checked out with 3 different people as far as, should I do this? Why shouldn't I do this? Is this a big political thing?
Oh, and yeah, good sort plan. Of stuff.
Am I jumping into the, you know, into a snake pit here or whatever? Anyway, once I found out I wasn't, and so I joined, and that was in November of 2024. So just over a year's time, and then the board was in a kind of a transition time, and I became, after 2.5 months, 3 months, whatever, became, for good or bad, whatever, I became the chair of the board. Ooh. Which to me doesn't, in all honesty, doesn't mean a whole lot in one sense. And I'll always like to be just transparent, and that is, it gives me an opening. In other words, when I meet with different people, different groups, whatever settings, you know, I say, hey, I'm Dan Turner with Cathlamet Public Library. And usually I just end it with that. But if it's a setting where I need to say, you know, I'm on the library board or in an email, I'm on the library board, I'm the chair of the board, then it gives me an opportunity. It gives me a voice. It gives me a little voice of authority, so to speak, and which I appreciate because we are all about, and when I say we, I mean the board and Vicki, our wonderful librarian, we're about making Cathlamet Library even better. And that's our key, is just to make it even better. It's already great and wonderful, but as in anything, you can make it even better. And so that's what we're about.
That's all we can strive for, is to leave things a little better than we found them. But I do have one question on your background before we get into the library and then the viper pit of potential viper pit of boards. Third grade teacher.
Yeah.
Was that your choice or just you stumbled into it? I mean, why not a high school teacher? What was it about third grade and the little guys that you liked?
Well, I was only certified for K through 8.
Okay.
Great. Okay. So I wasn't high school certified, you know, which would have taken a few extra classes, and I didn't want to do that. And I really did want to teach the younger kids and so on. But I enjoy when I was substituting high school kids because you could think with them, you know, they could think with you. Right. Really, like a lot of things in life, it comes down to, hey, there's a job and they're going to pay me money. Okay, here's my hand. It's raised up. I'll take it. Okay. And really, in all honesty, that's what it comes down to oftentimes. I taught a couple years fifth grade before that, which I love fifth grade because they can think even more than third graders. and actually, in one of my jobs also, one year was kindergarten. One year. And I love that.
Oh, how fun.
Because they think you're God. You know, they think, you know, and you're the almighty one and so on. And so that was fun because you're actually teaching them how to make a letter. You know, here, this is how we make the A, or this is how we make the B. And you realize, you think, oh my goodness, this is what they're going to do for the rest of their life.
Yes.
You know? It really is. Yeah.
You know? They will always make that curve of the S the way you taught them for
it's
the rest of their lives.
Good grief.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is in its own strange way. But I did third grade because the opening was there. And okay. I said, yeah. And really, it was but I really did enjoy third grade because they're becoming independent. And yet they still listen to you because you're the teacher. So anyway, it's enjoyable, especially the latter half of third grade when everything's settled down and they're really growing and maturing in their thinking and ability to think creatively and critically, whether they realize that or not. And so you can present things to them to have them think quietly, even for 30 seconds, 60 seconds. And so the latter half of third grade, you know, like from February on, I really enjoy.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. Yeah, my daughter for a while thought she wanted to teach like high school art level. But then when she did some student teaching, she realized the little guys, smaller kids, smaller problems.
Yeah.
and that was more appealing. So she does kindergarten now.
They love her.
So let's get on to the library a little bit.
Yeah,
sure. I applaud. I love your, I didn't say yes. I wanted to see what I was getting into because boards can be very dysfunctional sometimes, and that can set an organization back. It can run good people off, both board volunteers and staff. So I applaud that you kind of took some time to look at it. But I'm also surprised that you became the is it for this organization a chairman?
Correct.
Chair, that you became chair in just a couple of months. Because that to me, if I knew nothing about the library and I didn't hear you say, like, oh, it's good and we think it could just be even better. And, you know, we just want to improve it a little bit, but it's already great. If all I heard was you became the chair within a few months, I would be like, uh-oh, there's something going on there. So that would have been a red flag for me joining that board or participating. So talk a little bit about the background of the library and how it came about and then where it is today.
Okay, I will answer that question. Let me just emphasize again about the board. And that was, it was during a period of transition. And so that's why that, if you want to call it, opportunity came up to be the chair. You know, I was voted and I didn't say no, I said sure.
Or you just didn't show up to that meeting and they let you in.
No, I was there and all that sort of stuff. And I wanted, you know, it was clear, they all knew, I wanted to, let's do stuff.
Yeah.
I can't emphasize that enough. You know, let's do stuff for the library. Let's not say, well, let's look at that at the next board meeting, or let's do a survey, or let's do, good grief, let's do stuff and let's do it now. And if it doesn't work, whoop-de-doo, either drop it or change it. It's not a big deal. What the heck? Anyway, that's always kind of been my mindset for various reasons. Anyway, so, and I apologize. What was the question again?
Just talk about the library, the background of it. Yeah.
Well, since this is a history podcast, let me give you a little history and get going. The library was founded in 1931 by the Cathlamet Woman's Club. They founded it. Then, 2 years later, in 1933, they turned it over to the town of Cathlamet. So it was founded in 31, and in 33, it was established as the Cathlamet Public Library.
So 31, that's not a Carnegie Library, is it?
No, it is okay. Not. Yeah, yeah, I'm familiar with that a little bit. Anyway, so that's, so, and this March 10th will be our 93rd birthday of the Cathlamet Public Library, and Mildred Olson, with an E, was the first town librarian. Mm-hmm. I just recently discovered that. In 1933, March 10th was the actual first opening of the library of Cathlamet Public Library. And this will be our 93rd birthday coming up on March 10th. We'll be having a little, you know, birthday cake and, you know, goodies during that week for in celebration of the library. Nothing, you know, beyond that. And anyway, so since 1933, the library has been publicly funded out of general revenue. No tax district, no nothing specific for the library. Each year, the town decides you get this amount of money. Currently, so we are publicly funded by the town, not the county, the town. And for local listeners out in that area, that doesn't mean Puget Island. That doesn't mean the Locomin. That doesn't mean Skamakaway. That doesn't mean Grays River, Altoona, so on and so forth. That just means the approximate population of 600 people that live in the town, which means about 325 people that actually pay property taxes and whatnot to the town are actually supporting the library. And out of that, so this year, being transparent, we got $66,000, new dollars, for 2026. And out of that, that pays for 19 and a half hours for our one part-time paid position for Vicki Franklin, our librarian. There are no other paid positions. And so, and out of that 66, I might say, oh, that's not bad, $66,000, Dan. Yeah. And out of that 66, so roughly half of that goes for the paid part-time position. And then you also pay for utilities. You also pay for insurance. You also pay for the different fees and subscription services that we need to provide. You also, so all these different things that you have to pay for. And out of that, so you're left with about approximately $4,500 that we can pay for books, supplies, and that's it. $4,500. That's it. We did just recently for 2026 receive, and thankfully, and we appreciate it, from the county, we received $2,000 contribution. Mm-hmm. The town pays the operating budget.
Got it.
So, yeah. Well, from, and everything else is just contribution if we get anything else.
From my perspective and nonprofits and programming and buildings and utilities, $66,000 may sound like a lot to you and me, but to actually do what a nonprofit needs to do, no, it doesn't even scratch the surface.
Right, right, right. So, and just continue to speak further and so on.
Yeah.
And so, I joined the board, and one of the first things I realized was I had to learn, I know we don't have much time here, I had to learn, okay, where do we get our money from? And I realized, oh, we get it from the town. Oh, what's that mean? Oh, it's just the town paying for it. Yeah, but how's that decided? Oh, it's the town council. Oh, okay. All right. So that's some of my focus for obvious reasons. And but I thought, how do we show that our library is growing? In order to show that, and in order to show what our library is all about and what we're doing, there's two things, and I call it M&M. And one M, just like the little chocolate snack, is the one M is membership. We have to grow in membership. And the way we do that is there's so much to all this, but anyway, we need to get a library card in everybody's hand. We went from 980 members when I joined the board to now we're at 1,850.
That's amazing.
But the key is two things. We had to go out to events. We couldn't just say, oh, come to the library and get your card.
Right.
Because one, we're only open 15 hours a week. And two, and I'm speaking to myself, trust me, people are lazy. They don't want to go. They don't want to go to the library, and they don't want to have to get out of the car, walk inside, da-da-da-da. But if you go out to events where they're already at, and you take your laptop and you take a laminating machine and you provide them a card within 5 minutes at that event, now you're talking. And that's what we do.
That's impressive.
What Vicky and I do. And that's why we're able to go from 980 to 1,850. The second part of the M of that M&M is marketing. We had no presence in the Wakayakum Eagle. That's our local newspaper. Mm-hmm. We had no print, nothing. Zip, zilch, nothing. I'm thinking, how do people know what we're doing? There is nothing. Then I realized, okay, the only way this is going to happen is if I do it. So I walked out of the Eagle, you know, which is like 500 feet from the library, and I walk inside, and and they have a great staff there. And anyway, so the big thing there was we have a weekly advertisement in the Eagle, which isn't free, costs money. And thank you, Library Foundation, who pays for that weekly ad. Huge thank you. Shout out to them. Then we also, once in a while, depending, we have articles in the Eagle. Then I came up with, every week we have a reader's fave, a reader's favorite about somebody's favorite book or author.
We love that.
So all those things, it's just getting it in the Eagle. And then they have a separate little card of thanks in the Eagle. You know, a little, you can do a 60-word shout out to somebody. So we always do that because we got all these people doing stuff for the library. Mm-hmm. So give them a shout out and let them know we appreciate them. So, but again, it's that marketing thing. If you are marketing, as anybody knows, any business out there, you got to market. Otherwise nobody knows who you're about, what you're about, and why you're about. And so, and then getting a library card in everybody's hand, and part along with that, I know, is that I also realized, how do you make this card even more valuable? It can't be just books, boring. Yeah. It can't just be, oh, you can also come in and get DVDs. Okay, whoopee, nobody does that anymore, except for a few people, and they value our DVDs. So I went around to local businesses, and now we have six local businesses in Cathlamet area that give 15% off discount. We also have one in Pacific County, Nassau Coffee Shop, and then the Blue Scorcher here.
Oh, how nice. Rich. Yeah.
So they reach out to a lot of libraries. And last little bit here.
Yep. Tell us how you can find you on the website and either donate some money to you, to the foundation, or to getting a card.
Well, you can't find me on the website.
I'm wrong.
The boards are all listed there and so on. But as far as getting a card, come out to different events in Wakayakum County. Usually we're at them. Or you can come into the library and get a card. We'll get it to you in 5 minutes. Nice laminated card. And
there's a great website as well.
We have a wonderful website. And we also have a West End delivery, which we started in October, where every week we deliver books that are placed on hold for the people that are on the West End of Wakayakum County. So they don't have to drive the 30 minutes to get to their public library.
Okay. Well, we've got to run. Thank you so much for being here. Go take out a book or go participate in some events. And thank you for coming in, and thank you for listening. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.